Get closer as another. We start another month this week, which makes it March, which makes me happy because I is 1 month away from when I get to unveil Elijah to you guys. So I'm excited about that, and I'm sure my wife is excited about that too. Although we're a little nervous because y'all are just a petri dish. Sorry. Elijah this week, I was told that I still need to put pictures of Elijah up. So here you go. We look nothing alike. He is not my son. Yesterday, I was, this will be real quick, because Tim told us, got up here and preached a sermon, but I was feeding Elijah yesterday while Heather was cleaning Evelyn's room, and with Evelyn helping, and so I'm giving him a bottle, and 4 ounces in, and I put him up on my shoulder, get ready to put him on my shoulder to burp him. And he went, but, and projectile vomited all 4 ounces that I had given him on me, on him, on my pants, on the couch, on the carpet, on the coffee table. It was like exorcist type stuff. It was crazy. And however, he's really cute, and so I didn't hold it against him. Anyway, that's the Elijah update. Let me pray. God, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your church. We thank you for just how much you love us. Father, may we be a blessing to those around us. It's your plan. In your name we pray. Amen. Today we wrap up our February series, Rooted. The series has looked at this idea of being rooted in Christ and what that looks like. We have talked about being rooted in Christ, what that means. It means that we are growing in the Word. We are growing in prayer. We are growing in serving. And today we are focusing on growing in fellowship. So for the today we will be looking at the book of Acts, and the series in March will be looking in the book of Acts as well. So for the next 5 weeks, we will dive into this very rich book. Acts is a historical account of the Acts of the Apostles, or the Acts of the early church. And the book starts with Jesus ascending to heaven, and then Peter and the disciples starting the early church, and later the events of Paul. The purpose of this book was to record what God was doing in the life of the early church and to prove that Jesus was indeed for every person, every man. So if you would, turn with me to your Bibles. If you have a pew Bible, it's on page 907, Acts 2, 42 through 47. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Okay, so here's what has happened in the book of Acts to this point. Jesus gives some final instructions to the disciples, and he ascends to the Father. Then the disciples chose some new disciples, and then Peter delivers the very first sermon to the early church on the day of Pentecost, and 2,000 people join the church that day. People of all types, ethnicities, and languages. And then we get the passage that we just read. And the word that pops out, the word that we're talking about today, is the word fellowship. It is the word, it's the word koinonia in the Greek. Does anybody know what the word fellowship means? Anybody? Okay, sharing time together. Lots of times churches have a fellowship hall, right, where you go eat. Or it's a Christian word for doing stuff, you know? Like, hey, let's get together and play some video games. We'll have some fellowship, right? I mean, that's kind of, it's kind of this Christian word for getting to do whatever we want, right? Within reason, obviously. But I want to change our definition. A good definition for the word koinonia is that of a relationship between individuals which involves a common interest and a mutual active participation in that interest and in each other. So what is our common interest? Jesus, right? Or worshiping Jesus, right? Very good. So this is the typical Sunday answer for you. You realize that might be our only common interest. And if Jesus is our only common interest, guess what? That's enough. That's enough. So is it all right with all of you if I take our previous understanding of the word fellowship and make a change? I would love for us to start seeing fellowship not as something that is passive, but instead something that is active. In other words, the relationship between those people that love Jesus and want to spread his love and blessing to each other and to their neighbors. Does that sound like the church? Maybe it does to you, maybe not. But I believe that is what we were supposed to be doing here at Bowen Christian Church. There are too many times when our idea of fellowship is a potluck dinner. Acts 2:42 through 47 does not sound like a potluck, does it? Look at me. I'm all for potlucks, right? But there has to be more to our fellowship if we want to see our lives change, if we want to see the lives of our neighbors and co-workers changed. To me, Acts 2:42 through 47 sounds like a family, and it sounds like a family being family. Look at 42. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. Look what they are doing. They are sharing with each other. They are loving each other. They are teaching each other, supporting each other. This is what we strive to be as a church. Our model for what we do here at Bowen Christian Church is straight from this passage. We have devoted ourselves to the teachings of Jesus. We pray for each other and for our community. We share meals together and we participate in the Lord's Supper whenever we meet. We try and take care of each other. If people are in need, we try and meet those needs. So fellowship is community aspect that holds all of this together. It is the part that lets us know that life with Jesus is not about you and him alone. It is the part that gives our mission the spread of the gospel. It is a fellowship that causes people to give sacrificially to help fix someone's car or to pay somebody's electric bill. It is fellowship that causes church to be a family, to have a what's mine is yours attitude. It is koinonia that drives the gospel message to our neighbors. Too many times we have reduced fellowship to the name of a hall or to justify church people hanging out, and this has to stop. We must redefine what this word means. We must see that our fellowship first speaks to our personal relationship to God, to Jesus. And when we have fellowship with Jesus, what do we receive? It's a really loud buzz behind me. Sorry. First, we receive the salvation by the blood of Jesus. It's really louder. Okay. I feel like it's going to blow up or something like that. Okay, salvation by the blood of Jesus. He treats us as family. We are His heirs. His Spirit is within us, and He gives us generously of His riches. Wow. Okay. Our fellowship with... You can hear me still, right? Okay. Our fellowship with Him is what drives our koinonia with each other. It is our relationship with Him, watching what He does for us, that allows us to do that for others. What allows us to share the gospel, what guides us to impart what God has done for us to others, is why we can treat people that we have very little in common with, socially or economically, as a family. It is why we give sacrificially to others. We do these things because we have watched God do those things in our lives. And we want to be like Jesus. So the point is that the fellowship that we have with Jesus is what drives the fellowship that we have with each other and the church and our neighbors. Does that make sense? Think of it like a bunch of military families with loved ones that are all deployed overseas. These families watch out for each other, they help each other, they encourage each other, they share what they have with each other, they go the extra mile for each other. Then what happens? More families band with those families, and together they all wait for their loved ones to come home. Does that sound passive to you? Of course not. We are all waiting for our loved one to come, right? We are all waiting for Jesus to come for us. Fellowship with each other is what gives us support, what drives us while we wait for our King to come. Fellowship is what makes people want to come to a church and what keeps them there and keeps them around after they get there. The ability to do life with others, to share with what is happening to you, to receive support and wisdom and counsel, those are what makes Christianity doable. It has to be more than just reading your Bible or listening to sermons or singing worship in your car. Rubbing elbows with each other, knowing there are people that have been where you are, or the knowledge that you have been where someone else has been. That is how we press on. We encourage each other in Jesus. Christianity is never supposed to be done alone. Fellowship is what helps us to keep going. So today I want to share with you a very simple acrostic to remember a better way to do fellowship. This really can be used for every part of your life. It's how we want to do church on Sunday morning. It's how we want to do a Sunday school class. It's how we want to do a small group, which you can come to tonight at Doris's house at 5 o'clock. She's making lasagna. The small group we started a couple weeks ago is using this model. It is how we want to do evangelism and simply be a good neighbor. The acrostic is the word bless. There are some guys up in Naperville that I listen to and read. I've gone to their church conference for many, many years, and they have come up with a strategy. They came up with a strategy years ago. And he says, from the very beginning, God's way of reaching and restoring the world has always been through what I would call a blessing strategy. Remember in Genesis when God calls Abram? Genesis 12 verses 1 says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to land which I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you." They begin to ask the question, how do we do this in a very practical way that's theologically grounded? How do we explain to people how they could bless people in the places they are incarnating or where they're living or dwelling? How can we be purposeful with our fellowship and change it from merely hanging out or potlucks? And what they realized was that God's way was always the best. So Mark Russell wrote this book called Missional Entrepreneur. It tells a story that was performed on two different missionary teams that were going to the country of Thailand. Both teams wanted to go in and establish businesses in that country. But after that, the two teams had very distinct strategies that they wanted to use. The study wanted to see what would be the results of the different strategies. One team's strategy was to go to Thailand, start a business, and focus on blessing the people there. That was it. They would get into the culture and find ways they could bless and help people and serve them in tangible ways. They were called the blessers. The next group went into Thailand to start a business, but their strategy was to go and focus on getting converts through the business. They went in with the plan to convert as many people as possible to Christianity. This group was known as the converters. So this study followed these two different groups for 5 years. Do you know what the results of the study were? The study found that the blessers had a far greater social impact in their area, had 50 times as many conversions as the converter group. They found that the blesser group not only outperformed the converters in bringing people to Christ, but also had a huge social impact and made life better for the people in practical ways. Intuitively, we know what this study proved empirically. It is only when we love people and bless them that they develop an interest in what we are doing. It is the best way to help people find their way back to God. So here it is. Bless. Begin with prayer. We want you to ask, God, how do you want me to bless people in the places you've sent me to? In my home, in my work, in my family. So we begin with prayer. Whether it be a small group or a Bible study or a church setting, or you just want to bless your neighbor, you begin with prayer. The next one, L, is listen. Don't talk, but listen to people, their struggles, their pains, in the places that God has sent you, and listen to God. E is simply eat. You can't just check this off. It's not quick. You have to have a meal with people or a cup of coffee. It builds relationships. Andy Stanley says that it is the most intimate part of your home that very few people make it to. You've got to eat together. S is serve. If you listen with people and you eat with people, they will tell you how to love them and you'll know how to serve them. And the last S is story. When the time is right, now we talk and we share the story of how Jesus changed our lives. Community Church, Christian Church in Naperville, applies this to everything they do. Their goal is to plant 200 churches and campuses in the Chicagoland area in the next several years. This affects every campus, every plant, every sister church that is part of their network. Their mission is to help people find their way back to God. This idea of fellowship to them is what allows people to get into people's lives, share the message that Jesus has with them. It is what allows the barriers to come down, to let the guard down, and allow people to truly start living in fellowship with each other. I don't know about you, but I want that. I want true fellowship. I want to trust people enough to let them in, to let them in the circle of trust so that they might speak into my life and I might speak into their lives. All while we encourage each other to follow Jesus. That's what I want. And I hope that's what you want. I hope that's what, as a church, what we're striving for. Because if not, this is a club. We're just a part of a club. And I don't need to be a part of another club. What I need to be part of is a group of people that together breathe life into me and I can breathe life into them as we strive to follow Jesus. That sounds good to me. Verse 46 and 47, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. You know, the byproduct of good fellowship is your church grows. When you have this right, when you're doing things, when you're carrying each other's burdens, when you're with each other and together you're on mission together to share each other's pains and joys and to reach those around us, you know what happens? People are attracted to that. People want that. And they come. Who can you bless this week? Who? Write their name down. Try this acrostic. See what happens. Invite them for a cup of coffee. See what happens. I guarantee you, if you begin with prayer and you intentionally try to reach somebody, God is going to bless your and their socks off. And it may not be like we think a blessing is like, oh, I'm going to get a new car. That's not what it means. God blesses our lives richly with relationships and with peace and joy when we follow Him and we commit our lives to Him. That's the blessing that we seek. How can you be a blessing this week? We want to offer a chance. If you need Jesus in your life, and you've never made a commitment to Him before, and you just want to talk to me or one of our elders about what that all means, we would love to invite you to come down. If you need some prayer today, or you just need, you know, you've been a Christian for a while, but you feel like you're kind of falling off the wagon, if you need that, we invite you to come down. And if you're not comfortable doing that, we invite you to find one of us after church and just say, hey, can we talk for a minute? If that is a decision you want to make today, we invite you to do that as our praise band sings our